This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening, lovely people, and welcome to your Monday night edition of The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm your host, Emma Arnold, and along with my co-host, Stephanie McLean, we'll be taking a look into the infamous tampon tax that has been cashing up the government since the year 2000. Yet the tax is only one side to the many faceted issue that is the accessibility of sanitary items. So later on the show, Donna Salzenberg, creator of the Melbourne Period Project, will be joining us in the studio to have a chat about the important work they're doing to help provide care, support, and sanitary products to homeless women. Of course, we want to hear what you have to say, so please send us an email to onair@joy.org.au, or you can text the studio at 0427-JOY-949. You can even find us on Facebook and Twitter, just in case you didn't have enough options, at The Informer Joy. Welcome back to The Informer on Joy 94.9. We've got quite a show for you tonight. We'll be looking at the tampon tax as well as the issue that sanitary items pose for homeless women. But of course, before we get into that, we really cannot ignore the events that took place in Orlando, can we, Stephanie?
No, absolutely not, Emma. There's a lot of sadness across the LGBT community today, as Matt touched on in his news update just before. At least 50 people have been killed and another 53 injured after a heavily armed gunman opened fire and seized hostages at a gay nightclub, Pulse Nightclub, in Orlando, Florida. Police say it's the worst mass shooting in US history. Here's a little recap of what we know so far.
Oh my God, they're all shooting back and forth.
But I don't know where my son is. No one can tell me where my son is. If he's been shot, if he's dead, if no one knows, he's not answering the phone. But he was sitting right next to his boyfriend, and his boyfriend definitely was shot with multiple gunshots and taken in the ambulance.
I don't know how to describe them. On one hand, I've got 20 of our community members laying on the floor of a nightclub, dead. I've got 40 people in the hospital right now. And I have so many community members that were there, that witnessed this, that were part of this. So the emotions are all over the place right now.
Does it even seem real?
No. No, it doesn't seem real. It does. This seems like a dream. How could this possibly happen here in Orlando?
It's a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you?
The individual believed to be responsible for the terror attack at the Orlando Club Pulse early Sunday morning has been identified as Omar Mir Sadiq Martin, age 29. An American citizen born in New York. He died of an exchange of gunfire with police officers early.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I hear the media like really trying to make this about ISIS or Islam or this or that, but it's just about imbalance. It's about society, you know? It's about parenting. It's about accepting each other, you know? It's not about differences and wars, you know? It's about us looking at ourselves and see how can we be different to help people, you know?
Stand with the people of Orlando who have endured a terrible attack on their city.
although it's still early in the investigation, we know enough to say that this was an act of terror and an act of hate. This is an especially heartbreaking day for all of our friends, our fellow Americans who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. The shooter targeted a nightclub where people came together to be with friends, to dance and to sing, and to live. The place where they were attacked is more than a nightclub. It is a place of solidarity and empowerment where people have come together to raise awareness, to speak their minds, and to advocate for their civil rights. So this is a sobering reminder that attacks on any American, regardless of race, ethnicity, religion, or sexual orientation, is an attack on all of us and on the fundamental values of equality and dignity that define us as a country. And no act of hate or terror will ever change who we are or the values that make us Americans.
What's really going on below? But now you never show that to me. And the Holy Dove was moving too, and every breath we drew.
This is the worst mass shooting in American history. The President, Barack Obama, has described it as an act of terror and an act of hate. It's too early to say precisely what motivated the gunman, but it certainly appears to be motivated by a hatred of the freedoms, the free society in which all of us enjoy. An attack like this, which has killed at least 50 people and injured as many more, is not simply an assault on the people that have been killed and injured. It's an assault on every one of us. It's an assault on freedom. I want to say to Australians that we convey our deepest sympathy and condolences to the families of those who are injured, and I'll be conveying those more formally to the President in due course.
You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. Now, we've just been talking about the Orlando shootings that have been taking place, and we just kind of want to emphasise that we shouldn't let the media use what has taken place as another way to project hate towards the Muslim community. Right now, we need to focus on putting our love and support into the LGBT community and also protecting our Muslim friends from the hate that will be directed at them.
Yeah,
following this.
Yeah, just like we need to protect our community from hatred, and it is out there. It's really important to remember that there's a whole lot more love out there that is stronger than hate, and that's what we need to remember at a time like this.
Yeah, just focus on supporting each other rather than trying to tear each other down.
Well said.
And we are now back on our agenda, which is the tampon tax. Now, we spoke to a few people on the streets today of Melbourne, and here's a quick rundown on the issue so far.
Since 2000, the Australian government has taxed every menstruating Australian 10% every time we get our period, resulting in approximately $25 million in government earnings each year. Yes, ladies, the government are profiting from our periods, a natural bodily function that we have no say in whatsoever. You see, tampons are seen as a non-essential health item in the eyes of the Australian government, unlike condoms and lubricant, which aren't GSTable, as their use affects the entire population. And because menstruation only affects a portion of the population, the value of menstruation is open to change and tax. Subita Vimaljara, a student from Sydney University, created the Stop Taxing My Period campaign in a bid to encourage the government to remove the unfair tax dubbed the tampon tax.
I started a petition against the taxing of sanitary products under the GST. It now has over 86,000 signees and over 11,000 submissions to your Better Tax Review.
In May 2015, Vimalaja's video campaign and Vimalaja herself appeared before a national audience on the ABC's Q&A, during which panellist Joe Hockey said he would lobby the states to ditch the tampon tax.
You should think about it for a second.
Do I think that sanitary products are essential? I think so. I'll give you this undertaking. I'll raise it with the states at the next meeting of the Treasurers in July, I think.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
But Vimalaja's hard work was undone last week when Leader of the Opposition, Bill Shorten, announced at a press conference that Labor would not support the abolishment of the tampon tax as it would cost the Australian economy millions. Instead, he thinks Australian women should foot the bill.
If elected, will you drop the tax on tampons?
No. And I've got to say, I'm not going to make a promise that I can't keep.
Can I just clarify on this, though, because after Joe Hockey suggested the GST on tampons might be looked at, Labor was very clear that you would drop the GST on tampons. There's been a change on this.
Let me be really straight again about the finances of the nation. We will outline our full program, economic and social program, before July the 2nd. We've already outlined a fair bit of it. But what I won't do is be a big spending government.
But many Australian women and men would rather put a foot in bill.
Well, we can't really go without them. That's the problem. So it seems kind of stupid to tax something that's necessary.
I think condoms don't get taxed. So it's kind of like hypocritical that women can have sex but they can't protect themselves from, like, or just basically, like, use something for...
Yeah, and it's unhygienic as well not to go without pads or tampons.
Women are taxed 10% on all sanitary items and the government make $25 million a year out of it. How do you feel about that? Do you think it's fair?
I reckon that's bullshit. It's a natural bodily function. Why would you put a tax on a natural bodily function? That's just like being like, right, you have to pay money to us for breathing the air because you live in our country. It doesn't make sense. That's foolish.
If you've just made the good decision of tuning into Joy 94.9, then you're lucky enough to have come in on The Informer. In a moment, I'll be speaking with Donna Stolzenberg, the creator of the Melbourne Period Project, to take a further look into the issue of expensive sanitary items and their accessibility.
But before that, we did actually reach out to the Labor Party for some further commentary on Bill Shorten's announcement last week. Here's what they had to say. Labor has always been open to removing the GST from sanitary items if we can get the agreement of all jurisdictions and if an alternative revenue source can be identified, like the government's Netflix tax. We argued that state and territory leaders should have removed the GST on tampons, and our position hasn't changed. Unfortunately, there hasn't been agreement from the states and territories to make this change happen. New South Wales and Western Australia strongly opposed the change at the last COAG.
Such a joke. Oh my gosh. I can't believe it.
Just remove it.
It's so classic. Like Joe Hockey last year, I almost liked him when he said he'd look into it. And then here we are now. Just Bill Shorten coming in with that no, like straight away. Oh, okay, well, that's just, as we said, one side of the issue as far as tampon goes, because if it's hard enough to imagine that sanitary items are taxed, it's even harder to imagine not having them at all. Tonight, we are lucky enough to be joined by the curator of Melbourne Period Project, Donna Stolzenberg, who works predominantly with homeless women and trans men who are in need of sanitary products, help and support. Donna, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me in the studio.
Well, we're happy to have you here. Now, can you give us a quick rundown on the products and care packages that you provide?
Yeah, so we provide what we call period packs to people who are experiencing homelessness, women and trans men. The period packs that we provide have not only pads and tampons in them, but also things like hand sanitizer, wipes, liners, disposable bags. Sometimes we put a Freddo Frog or something in there as well. Basically, they're designed for menstrual management for people who don't have access to a bathroom, who can't, people who don't have homes or don't have regular access to bathrooms. And we've got five different types of packs. One of those is our hemlock pack, which is specifically for trans men.
What is the overall message at the forefront of your project, and what do you want our listeners to really know?
Look, there's so much about what we do, and I think each message that we're trying to get out is really important. But, we work with people who don't have access to sanitary items, and it's just really important that they are given access to these items and for free, you know, let alone a tax slapped on them. So, you know, and one of the things that we find really hard to get across to people is what happens when you don't have a bathroom and you don't have access. Without access to these products, people miss out on access to outreach programs. They basically have to hide away. They can't just change their clothes. There's no laundry for them to just, you know, pop their clothes in the washing machine. So especially women, if they are bleeding through their clothing, then they lose access to food vans, they lose access to outreach, they basically hide away until they can get more, you know, get changed or get clothing. Without what we do, they're forced to either go without food or to steal. And then if they've had to steal them and they get caught, then there's a criminal record. It reduces their job prospects. The knock-on effect of this is absolutely horrific when they don't have proper access to sanitary items.
Some of the alternatives, I mean, one of the arguments is that, well, if you can't afford to buy tampons and pads, then what about some of the alternatives like menstrual cups, for instance?
Yeah, and look, they're a great alternative for some people, but when you don't have a bathroom to change a menstrual cup in or a laundry to wash your reusable pads in, I mean, where are they going to dry them? You know, under a bridge, or, you know, wash them on the banks of the Yarra. It's, you know, not very nice. There's no privacy. A lot of the people that we work with as well have experienced sexual trauma. There's a lot of cultural aspects around using any products that require insertion. Some people are heavy bleeders. Some people have prolapses. Cups don't work. So the other thing is too, trying to keep these products ready for use when their period starts. So a menstrual cup needs to be sanitised before it's used. It needs to be washed regularly. And if you don't have access to anything, anywhere you can sterilise it, you know, you're basically increasing the risk of infection by using a product that's not ready to be used, or using an inappropriate product. So I know that the, you know, they say that there's a tax on the tampons because, you know, they're not, basically not a health-giving thing, but try using something inappropriate and see how well you feel afterwards. You know, if you've got to use an old sock or newspaper or toilet paper, or, you know, stuff a jumper in your underwear, you know, that's just going to create infection. And then, yeah, that, if people stop using them, then they will see an increase in ill health.
And is that something you've seen, women using items such as old socks?
Yeah, it's the stories that we've been told from people. Before we got our packs together, we went out and we actually asked women what they were using. We spoke to doctors, gynecologists. We talked to people who'd experienced homelessness and asked, you know, what do you do when you get your period? Socks are one thing. Stealing is the main thing, either stealing the money or the product. Newspaper, crunchy toilet paper from public toilets. Mind you might have to walk 2 kilometres, you know, bleeding to find one that's open at 2 o'clock in the morning. The other problem is too that people are at risk. If, you know, when women experiencing homelessness, when it gets nighttime, they'll tend to hide. So because they're at risk of assault and attack. So if their period starts, it means that they have to come out from their safe place, try and find somewhere that has, you know, a public toilet that's open, try and hope there's toilet paper in there. If not, they have to use their clothing. You know, it's absolutely horrific that, you know, the things that they have to resort to. And none of those things are made for menstrual management. So, you know, the risk of infection does go up, and just the uncomfortableness of having to use those things. And, you know, not to mention that, you know, it's just degrading and embarrassing as well.
But as far as issues do go, when we are talking about homeless, this is something that is so rarely mentioned. I mean, it's something that we don't consider, and that kind of shows how sheltered we are. Why isn't this at the forefront of the whole, you know, when we talk about homeless people, it should be at the front of the discussion, but instead it's something that's almost left as an afterthought.
I think that when we think of homelessness, we tend to think of men as well. We don't generally think of women being homeless. And so if you're not talking about women who are homeless, and we don't talk about periods generally either, unless, you know, look, it's in the media a lot lately. But when you get two things that aren't talked about, women who are homeless as well as periods, you put them together, no one's talking about it. So that's one of the reasons that we put the name period in our project, was to make people actually say the word, you know. And we talk about menstrual management. And I think that because periods, basically, they're just not something that are discussed in the open. You might talk about them with your girlfriends, but they're generally not something that are discussed. And, you know, this is one of the reasons we also, it's really hard to envisage what it's like to not have a bathroom at all, and or a toilet. You know, if you think of someone who is homeless, or yourself, you think of what it would be like to miss out on your warm, snug lounge room or your bed, and you don't think of yourself sitting on the toilet managing your period or what it would be like to not be able to do that. It's just not something that comes to mind, but it's a reality for people who are sleeping rough and who don't have access to bathrooms.
Well, as far as the project itself does go, I mean, how long have you been doing this?
Our charity's been going for a couple of years. Melbourne Homeless Collective is a charity that we run, and the Period Project has been going. It's actually our first birthday on Friday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. We hit the ground running. We're in Brisbane and Sydney as well. We've got three hubs in Victoria. So we've got Geelong, Gippsland and the Murray region as well. So we sort of cover about 70% of the state. So there's definitely a huge need for what we do.
Well, I mean, it's great that you are doing it, but it's so strange that it's only just sort of started. Do you know what I mean? You're only just sort of having these first birthdays. I mean, it's impossible to imagine what was happening before you guys were even around.
Exactly. And it horrifies us when we hear the stories from people about what they used to have to do as well. And I think there's just a time where everything has a starting point, and it is a shame that it didn't start before this. But I think we were already working in the homeless realm with a few other projects. So when this came to light, a friend of mine who works for the Australian Women's Health Network actually sent me an email about the homeless period in the UK. And that's when it was at penny drop moment for me. Why didn't I think about this? So huge thanks to Michelle. And that's when we already had the network out there with a project we run called Blanket Melbourne. So we had 80 drop-off points around Melbourne already, and we used that that type of sort of like crowdfunding, but for product. We used that and hit the ground running when we launched the page on Facebook. And we've got about 177 drop-off points, I think, now around Melbourne.
And as far as the broader community goes, how exactly can we help out?
Look, there are a lot of ways to help out. We always need product donation. There are overheads, of course. You know, we have to pay for the bags. We've got to pay for warehouse rent, light, phone, internet, everything everyone has to pay for. So financial donations, of course, are more than welcome. We ask people to sponsor a person experiencing homelessness. So when you get your period, buy a product, or we have a lot of people who set up a $5 donation per month just straight into our bank account, and that basically covers the cost of a period pack. So $5 a month means there's a person out there. And statistically, there's probably about at least 10,000 women in Victoria alone who are experiencing some form of homelessness. So, it might seem that we're getting a lot, but we're covering probably 1,400 to 1,600 of these women and trans men per month. So tip of the iceberg, we really need a lot more help out there. And our products, by very nature of what they are, they're chucked in the bin or flushed down the toilet. So we need to have them renewed every month. So
yeah, and we need to have the GST removed so that they're more accessible and cheaper.
Absolutely.
Ooh, that was a nice tie-in. Good segue there. But thank you so much for joining us, Donna. It's such an important issue, and thanks for bringing it to light, because awareness is also one of the ways we can definitely help.
Thank you. Thanks very much for having me.
A full rundown of today's story will be on the Joy website shortly. That was Donna Stolzenberg from the Melbourne Period Project. You're listening to The Informer, Joy's news current affair program. A massive thank you to our guest today, Donna from the Melbourne Period Project. Today's show was produced by Stephanie McLean and myself. I'm Emma Arnold, by the way, in case you're wondering whose voice you've been listening to. For a podcast of today's program and our other stories, please visit joya.org.au/theinformer. We'll also put the information for the Melbourne Period Project there so you can find out how to get involved. And of course, check out our brand new Facebook page, The Informer on Joy 94.9. And of course, follow and share with your family, your family friends. The Informer will be back tomorrow at 6:30, but you have your alarm set, so you already knew that. Up next is Outtakes with Daniel and Alan. I'm Emma Arnold.
And I'm Stephanie McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.